Thank you, Vicky. Thank you so much. Good morning once again, and welcome to Bridletown. I say it myself. Just one more announcement, which I just found out about this morning, and we don't have actually a lot of detail, but hopefully there'll be an email following tonight or tomorrow. Noreen, our sister Noreen, Oliver, I was wondering the last name, her sister passed away in January, and there will be a memorial service this coming Friday between 1 to 3 p.m. I just don't know exactly the location. It's somewhere in Richmond Hill on Young Street. I do not have an address yet, but I will send it to you as soon as I find out, and there will be an email going out to the whole church. But if you can, if you're free from work, or if you want to, if you know Noreen and you want to be with her, Friday from 1 to 3, somewhere in Richmond Hill on Young Street, I'll find out and let you know. So, sorry, I don't have a lot of information right now. I just want to pass this along so it doesn't get it gets announced. Anyway, one thing we'll probably start doing a lot more on Sundays is also reminding ourselves, why are we here? You know, we just had a discussion, and it's awesome because we just had a discussion this past week about our church's vision or direction, if you want. And I told, my memory is failing me. I'm only 50 and still, I'm not even 50. Anyways, I have no idea who was I? Was it you, Steve? Someone I was talking, and I said, I don't really have a fancy vision I can, you know, come and broadcast and. It's something so basic for me that it's simple and effective and powerful. And we were talking about this, and Drew just confirmed. There is a quote from a famous pastor says this, a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission makes a great church and a great Christian. It's simple. The great commandment, which is what? Love your God and love your neighbor. Love God, love people. And the great commission? Make disciples, exactly. If we focus on these, there's not much else not much else to add, you know. And I'm really a simple man. I guess my mind is tends to be, you know, in a good way simple, if I can say this. You know, focus on the essentials, you know, and then go forth with this. Love God, love people, make disciples. That's, if we are committed to this, it'll be great. And then we have all those banners there. And you see them actually on the bulletin, right under our logo here. I wrote here, we are a place to belong. As a church, I want us to be a place where everyone who walks through those doors feels at home. Feels that this can be their family. I know that in our society, we have so much connections online, but we're drifting apart more and more. And the sense of community is diminishing in the world around us. And we must fight to maintain this connection as the body of Christ. So I want everyone who walks the doors to know that he or she is loved, accepted, and they belong here. You know, whether you speak Romanian or English or Chinese or actually I meant Mandarin or Hakka or it doesn't matter. You belong. Because we are one body in Christ Jesus. And then I want this to be a place to grow. Why? Because I'm not looking to see every single person here as a mature Christian. That's not my goal. Although that would be awesome, honestly. That would be amazing. But my goal is to see every single person growing. From, let's say, Lauren. Oh, he's not here. He went up. From, Fiona is probably amongst the youngest. No, I don't know his name. Anyway, from Fiona to Brother Jack. You know, from 20 to 80? Nine? Okay, I was very optimistic. So you 31, okay. Everyone must grow. Guys, it doesn't matter how long you've walked with God, whether it's 1 week or one decade or one century. I must still grow. We must still grow. And this has to be a place where we grow. And having right now media, it's not because we are just want to spend, you know, some money every month to pay for a subscription. No, we want to provide a quality tool so that you guys can grow. And that is actually a quality tool. You can find it on PC, on Mac, on tablets, on iPhones, on smartphones, on smart TVs, you know, if you have those things. It's a great thing to go home and be able to watch a good teacher and you say, hey, I love my pastor. That was a joke, okay? Okay, I cannot compare to, with who knows what on I would say Netflix, not Netflix, this one, Right Now Media. But, guys, if you want to grow and read, study the book of James, for example, you can go and watch like three studies from James McDonald to, not James, sorry, good teachers. Anyway, you can go and find them online. Okay, so use that tool. And then the third one, a place to find purpose. On the banner says, serve. But I want to expand this a bit more to say, it is a place where you can find purpose. And we'll speak about this today, and this is my prelude to the sermon. My pastor back north in Newmarket has this saying, God has a wonderful plan for your life, and let me tell you what the plan is. He was joking, but the point is that God does have a plan for your life. Whether you're a preacher like me, a retired person, or a high school kid, it doesn't matter. God has a plan for you. God made you uniquely who you are and placed you uniquely where you are so you can have an impact for his kingdom. That I cannot in your place. I'm not in your place. So I want every person who comes to the church to find meaning and purpose for their lives and say, I am of value to God's kingdom. I am a treasured member of God's body, the body of Christ. This is what I want the church to be. Great commandment, great commission, and then a place to belong, your family, a place to grow, never satisfied, a place to find purpose. I want my life to mean something. That's who we are. Okay, and I'll come with this every once a month or so. I'll remind you why we are here and what is our goal as a church, okay? But Drew, I'll stick to this, and I'm going to steal this idea that a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission makes a great church and a great Christian. Amen? Amen. Let's pray for God's word. Dave, would you? Thanks, Dave. Okay, we're continuing our series, which we began last week, and I hope it's going to be very practical. It's different. Jenny, I hope you listen fast, Jenny Yao, because I'm going to speak fast and lots of verses, okay? So make sure you write them down, okay? If anyone misses a reference, just email me and I can send you the PowerPoint and every note. They're not secret. I can send you my notes if you need, or I can make copies. So Jenny, follow closely, okay? There's coffee if you need to. Okay, I'm just kidding. This is the theme I had for this week. My sheep know my voice. And it's probably the hardest of all the themes I chose for this series of Practical Faith, and I chose to have it first so I can get, be done with it. But it wasn't easy. I read, three books this past week, not the whole, but just parts of books, just trying to get an idea. Because you kind of know that God speaks, but then how do you go to the essentials? How do you go to the how-to? How to listen? How to hear? Whatever. And it wasn't easy, but it was challenging and encouraging to actually practice listening to God's voice. Because, you know what? How about God's direction for your life? Ever wonder what that is? Or God's plan for your life? Or God's will for your life? The will of God. Can we actually really know them? Nobody dares to answer. It's not a trick question. Yes, we actually can. And we'll start actually this week with just reading a bunch of verses. I want you guys to read them and listen to them. You can follow in your own scriptures if you want. You just read them on the screen. But listen to the Word of God. Psalms 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalms 32, verse 8. John 10, verses 1 through 4. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. John 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from out of my hand. That was actually verse 28 too. Hebrews 1 and 2. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. That's Mandarin. Psalms 119. This is a word you know very well. And if you don't write fast enough, like I said, I can copy you my notes. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know the song? I love that song. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. I'm not sure if it's a hymn or not, but it's a great song. What do you think is the common theme of all these verses? It's simple. How about this? Oh, I thought I had just one by one, but it's all three together. Anyway, fact one. God does speak to his people. You know, there's a theory out there, a sort of theology from back in 20th century that said, God, or actually 19th, God made the world like a clock, Smith makes a clock, and then just left it by itself, you know, to just live life, whatever, no interference from God. I don't believe that. My God speaks. And God speaks especially to his people. And if you go through the scriptures from Genesis all the way to Revelation, God speaks, and God speaks to his people. And the second thing is, fact number two, God will speak to me too. I'm a son of God. You are a son of God or a daughter of God. God wants to speak to us. And God wants to speak to us not just before or during disasters or calamities or, you know, things that go bad and we need to hear God's voice. No. God wants to speak to us every single day. And the third fact, if I don't know when God is speaking, I have a problem. If I do not know God's voice, I have a problem. Why? Because how do I live as a Christian? How can I say I know God's will, I know God's voice, I'm going in Christ, if I don't know his voice? You know? So that's why this theme here, I'm not trying to guilt or blame any, or, you know, but guys, if we cannot discern God's will for our lives, we have a problem. Can you agree with me on this one? You know? And but today, it's not about the problem. It's about the first fact and the second fact. God speaks to his people, and God wants to speak to me too. Okay, some clarifications. God will always reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. God wants to guide us. You know, Psalm 32, verse 8, I read it again, it's the first verse. I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. God wants to guide us and direct us, and that is a fact. God wants to reveal himself. And in the past, God spoke in various ways. Remember Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2? God spoke through what? Let's think. Angels, right? Did God speak through angels? Did God speak through visions? Dreams? Give me another. You know, just throw in something. Prophets. Okay, awesome. Exactly. Jesus. The scriptures. God spoke in many ways. And you know what? God is not limited to just one method. So I will not give you a recipe or how to listen to God's voice this way on Tuesday and this way on Thursday. No, God spoke through a bush. God spoke through a donkey. God spoke through storm. God spoke through a whisper. It's His prerogative as the Almighty God to choose how He speaks to us. But He does speak to His people. You know, I don't want you to focus on the methodology, but the very fact that our God chose to communicate, to reveal Himself, to speak to His people. You know, today, how does God speak today? He speaks through His Holy Spirit, by His Holy Spirit, through the Bible, first and foremost. But He speaks as we pray. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through His church. He speaks in ways that we don't even expect sometimes, dreams and even visions. Not often, not to me at least. You know, I don't dream dreams that, like that. I probably had a couple of visions. I mean, two. My whole Christian life, I can say God gave me a vision. And that was like 20 years ago. So God speaks. You know, hopefully you don't have eggs. The eggs are downstairs, not here, or tomatoes, so don't throw them. I believe that God can still speak through the gift of prophecy. I've seen it abused. Used and abused, so I'm a bit wary, I'm a bit weary, what's the word? Weary, cautious, but I still believe that if God so chooses, God can speak through even the gift of prophecy. So the purpose is not the formula. You know what the purpose is? To know God, to know that God loves you, and because He loves you, He wants to communicate to you. Not just listen to your prayers, but also respond to you. As you commune with Him, as you draw near to Him. But again, I say, although I believe God can speak through many things, through, you know, Dave, through Steve, through a book, through a movie, through a teacher, through the church, whatever, any and every of all these ways must be subject and must be validated by God's revealed word in the Scriptures, the Bible. Okay, I had a friend back in Romania, and we had a great relationship. We disagreed on one thing. I said always that experience is a great teacher, but I must see experience through the lens of the Scriptures and judge what I feel or experience by the Scriptures. He was a bit the other way. He said, I will like to interpret Scriptures through my experience. But he added a very subjective filter to how he sees the Bible. I want to put it the other way around. I want to see my life and my experience through the Bible lens. You know, so that's who I am today. So I believe that God will speak, and His words, His message, His communication to you, His revelation must be subject ultimately to God's revealed word, which is the Bible, in various translations. Okay, let's look at some lessons now about guidance. Because this is basically, we want to hear God's voice because we long for His direction, His guidance, to know His will, to know what do we do now. I wish I could play that clip from Jungle Book with those three eagles, bald eagles on a tree and say, what do we do now? I don't know. What do we do now? That's a very, if you're old enough, you know that movie. It's age-long question, even for Christian. What do we do now? You know, we want to know God's voice so we know where He guides us. Okay. Guidance is promised. Let's see. You know, another verse, Jenny. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Is it on screen? No, it's not. Okay. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make He will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The promise here is He will make straight your paths. Another promise, Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Psalms 37:23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. Say it again. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. And this is just scratching at the surface, because there are so many verses about how God promises to speak to us. So fact number one, God speaks. Fact number two, God speaks to me. Fact three, I must know what God says. Okay? Problem is, we have this thing in our minds. I want to make sure I say this. Have we always discerned God's will perfectly? No. Have I made mistakes assuming I heard God's voice? Yeah, I have. You know? And it's no sin. I mean, it's no sin. If your heart is sincere, and if you walk and you think God said something, that is not the biggest problem. If you know that you've made a mistake and you change your ways, past failures in hearing God's voice don't mean that you won't hear God's voice today or tomorrow. Don't let the past saying, well, I don't know God's voice because I've done that stupid thing 3 years ago or 20 years ago. I will never know God's voice. No, that's false. That's a lie. You know. And even if you made mistakes in the past, assuming you've heard God's voice, and then you know you haven't. I love this prophecy, this word of God through Joel, the prophet, not the real prophet, that says, Joel 2:25, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. To me, that verse says, God can redeem my past and bless my future, even though I've made mistakes in the past. I just need to change. I just need to focus on Him. And sometimes, you know, Psalms 119, verse 105, we just sang the song. I mean, I sang. I kind of tried. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. How much light do you think that is? This is a very common Christian cliche, but it's valid. It's true. Unfortunately, I mean, I hate the word that the fact is kind of a cliche now, but God gives you light for one step, for one day. Why? Because God still wants us to have faith. Because if He will tell us, you know, give us a book like this thick, or maybe for us some of this might maybe thinner, and say, this is how I'm gonna do in your life from now until year 225. You know, if we have the script, we'll just, you know, be no need to actually trust God, because we know what's going to happen, and we are either afraid, delighted, or maybe we don't like what God will do. But God says, no, I'll give you light enough for one step, because I want you to trust me every day. Grow in faith every day, because God will speak to you. God will guide you. The second thing, God's guidance is a privilege and a necessity. God doesn't speak to everyone. In a way, He does, if I can say that. I was thinking on the way up here. He does, in a way, through His creation. Read Romans 1. God does speak through His creation to everyone. But when it comes to the revealed voice of God, revealed will of God, a direct communication, we have that privilege as sons and daughters of the Almighty, who speaks to us, who chose to speak to us. It is a privilege. Enjoy it. Rejoice in it. Cherish it. Because we are blessed by this privilege. God the Almighty knows me, and He speaks to me by my name. I may be just a small part of His body. Maybe not many people know my name, but He does know my name. What a privilege. John 3, 1 John 3, we have the privilege to be known as God's children. We are God's children. And that's a privilege, and our Father will speak to us. But it's also a necessity. We need that. Anna says, and she, you know, you can ask her afterwards, but she told me many times, my greatest weakness is my strength. I know how to do stuff, you know. I grew up in a country where, in a time in my country where life was not easy. I learned to do stuff, to fix things, to solve problems, to get things done, you know. And sometimes that's a problem. Why? Because if I know how to do one thing, How much will I pray about that? Not much. I mean, honestly, if I know how to do one thing, how much will I pray? Not a lot. But if I'm out of my comfort zone, if I'm not sure, if I'm insecure, if I doubt, how much will I pray then? A lot, okay? So sometimes the problem is that we don't see the necessity to pray because we think we've got it covered. But do we? Do we? We don't. That's why we must have this urgency of prayer. Not just when the jello hits the fan and life gets tough. No. Every single day, it's a necessity of our lives. And the promise is that God will speak to us. Because God speaks to his people, God speaks to me, and I must know what he says. Third one, guidance is individual or personal. That was another choice. I just put individual there, but also personal. And what do I see by this? Not that God has different words in the sense that he says to Steve that white is white and says me that white is black. Not that kind. But God directs us personally. God directs our path and makes our path straight. And God says, first verse we read, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should walk. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I have no idea where, whom should I pick on today? Mike. I have no idea where, how Mike's life is, from Monday to Friday. I know parts and pieces. So how much can I direct Mike? Not much, but God knows him, and God will speak to him exactly what Mike needs to do. And the good news about guidance that is personal from God is that you ought never to compare yourself with anyone else. You say, if I would preach like Francis Chan, or if I would preach like this or that, or if I would have the business that this person has, or if I could sing like this, or if I could play like this, or if I would go to... No, you're not. The other one is in the moon, the cosmonaut, the astronaut. If I could be a lawyer like this or like that, comparison kills you. You are unique in God's ways, in God's plan, and God will guide you individually because where you are today, Rudy, I cannot have the impact that you can have on radio waves or in your building with your neighbors. I cannot. But God chose you, Rudy, and put you there specifically to bring his light, to go to surrender at that guy at the gate and say, surrender, God loves you. Because he'll listen to you, not to me. Correct? Rudy, that is your ministry and you're specially designed for that. God guides you, Rudy, and God will use you in a special, mighty way, because God chose you for this purpose specifically. And the same for everyone here. You're precious, you're useful, and never compare yourself with anyone else, because God made you who you are. God shaped you through life, circumstances, events, so he can use you magnificently the way you are today. God's guidance is individual. God's guidance is conditional, and I hated this word, but it's kind of true. Because, for example, meekness is a prerequisite of guidance. The opposite of meekness is what? Pride, maybe? I guess pride would be. But what would a pride guy, if I were to be a proudful, how would you say that? Prideful or proud pastor? And you would come to me and say, Adi, I feel God leads us to this direction. But me as a proud pastor, God only speaks to me. Listen to my voice. I don't care what you have to say. Have you worked for people like this before? I kind of have in the past. But anyway, meekness is a prerequisite for hearing God's voice. Very famous words. You read them today. I read them again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Humble yourself before God. Humble yourself under his mighty hand and he will guide you. He will make straight your paths. Problem is, like I said, sometimes we are proud. We don't even know it. And I'm guilty of this. I know how to read a book. I know how to bring to the material, how to prep a sermon. And sometimes I just pray you know, just I say that, you know, I check the box, I pray today, you know. But I want so much more than this. I want to be humble because I know who I am. I want never that myself will be in the way of God speaking to me or anyone else in our congregation. So meekness is a prerequisite. Obedience is another one. God may speak to you and say, I want you to get rid of this sin from your life. And you ignore that voice and say, Lord, bless me. Lord, give me this and Lord, give me that. But God said, be holy, for I am holy. And say, Lord, but, you know, meekness is a must. Obedience is also a must. You want God's will, then obey God's will. If you're rebellious against His word, it's kind of pointless to seek God's guidance. If when He gave you the guidance, He said, uh-uh. He said, no. So, commit yourself to Christ. Say, Lord, I am yours. I'm your son, but you are the holy, almighty God. You are the king of my life, not myself. And then commit your decisions to Him. Lord, I kind of want to do this, but Lord, what is your will? Remember the prayer in Gethsemane? Father, take this cup away from me, because I'm your son and I deserve it. Right? Father, take this cup away, but not my will, but yours be done. But sometimes we sing that song. You know, it's all about me, as if I should do your will, right? We kind of live that way. I'm not musical, but we kind of make that song the other way around. It's not, we usually sing, it's all about you. It's not that you should do my will, but we do it the other way around. It's all about me. It's not as if I should do your will. Our lives sometimes speak louder than our words. Anyway. God's guidance will never violate God's revealed will, the Bible. Can anyone be saved after they die? No. Okay. Story. True story. I was in a church meeting down in back in Bucharest, and I think it was a youth group. And a young lady walks to the doors. We're in a home group, in an apartment. And she says, guys, the Lord told me today to pray for my grandpa. And I came here because I want you guys to pray with me for my grandpa, for his salvation. Oh, great. I know. Where is he at? Well, he died 5 years ago. Okay. we actually had to sit down with her. And she was like 20-something. She was in college, university. And she was going to church from like Sunday school. And she thought God spoke to her. You know, I mean, God will not contradict His scriptures. God will speak to you because God speaks to His people. God will speak to you too, and you must know what God says. But God will not contradict His written word. And the last one, guidance requires safeguards. I put this at the end here because I will never claim, I hope I say it right, infallibility, that I'm without error. I'm infallible. I will never say that. I will always add, I think God spoke to me. I think God says this. Well, it's the scriptures. I can be sure about this. When I say, I have a dream or a vision or whatever, and I feel God says, Dave, you should do this. I can never have infallibility. I'm not infallible. I'm not God, you know. So I want to always add, I am a human as you are. And therefore, I'm subject to sin. So I will never be infallible. I will strive to do my best to hear God's voice. But I'm not perfect, unfortunately. I wish I were. So, because of that, one advice here. Always seek the advice of godly people. If you think God spoke to you, just go and ask, go and talk to someone that you know is a godly person. Say, pray with me. Think, you know, pray about this because I feel God is leading me this way, but I'm not sure. Seek
godly advice. And in the end, let the Word be the final authority. Everything you do, may the Word have the final authority. Now, the fun part, practical steps. This is the how-to part. Clarify your values. Remember, behavior or actions is what we see. But what lies underneath is values and beliefs. We only see the behavior, but what drives the behavior is what we believe and what we value. So, do you want to hear God's voice? Hands up or down? Do you want to hear God's voice? Okay. Is that a value? Is that a belief? Is that something strong in your heart, in your life? Thanks, Rudy and everybody else. Then make time for that. You know, I will tell you this next week as it's redeeming your time. Redeeming the time is next week. But if you say something like, I value this, I will see that in two ways, in your checkbook and in your calendar. Case in study, our beloved brother James. What does he love the most? Not besides you and God and the kids, whatever. What's like God, church, God, family, church, what else? What's like right there next? Blue Jays. You know, the Blue Jays. And you can see that James loves Blue Jays, which is a great thing. It's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. But how do we know that he loves Blue Jays? He spends money and he spends time because he loves the Blue Jays. Okay? If you love God, if you love prayer, if you want to hear God's voice, I want to see this in my own calendar, the way I spend my life, the way I invest my life. So clarify your values. Because if you say, I don't have time to pray, I don't have time to read, I don't have time to seek God, then that means that I say, you don't love God. Sorry to say, I mean, I should be this harsh. Sorry about that. I want to be more Canadian. Make sure your values and your behavior are congruent. They align. They speak the same language, okay? They say the same words. Because if not, that's an issue. And if it's not, make today a commitment. Make today a commitment. And say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I want to seek your ways. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. And put your time where your words are. Invest your life in seeking God. Make a commitment today. The third one there is, there's no connection with that Mary kid, Mary thingy on Netflix, declutter. My greatest problem when it comes to hearing God's voice is I'm too busy. So when I'm at the office here, if I want to spend time with God, I don't stay in my office. I leave my laptop, I leave my books, I leave my cell phone in the office, and I come here. I sit where Ella sits there, and I just pray there. Nothing. I just see the watch, and that's it. No electronics. Because I want to hear God's voice. And I know I'm easily distracted. I'm going to check my phone and see if what's on Facebook. I hear the bing of an email. I want to see who wrote me. And I can easily be distracted. But so I purposefully declutter. I make room in my life. I make room in my mind. I make room in my heart. I push away stuff that I know that is tempting to me. You know, and with this, the last one, they kind of come together. Not last on this slide. Practice solitude and meditation. Isolate yourself from Facebook, from noises, from, if you can. I mean, I know, I cannot require, if you live in a dorm, that's kind of hard probably sometimes, but try your best to spend time with God away from distractions, okay? And that must be a commitment and a practice. If you want to learn God's voice, you must spend time with Him in prayer, reading the scriptures, listening to what He might whisper to you. But in the noise of today, that's kind of hard. That's why we must be intentional about decluttering and seeking solitude. And this one. Make Bible reading practical and personal. We can have and still have over there Bible reading plans. You check a box, read Matthew 1-2, Psalms 1-2, and this 1-2, whatever. And then you check the box and say, I'm good, I read the Bible. Reading the Bible mechanically doesn't do you much good. My suggestion, my advice, my word as a pastor for you and for myself is this. When you open the scriptures, pray as you open the scriptures. Say, Lord, speak to me today through your word. And allow me to see what you want me today to put into practice. Speak to me so I can live today a different life for you. And just read the scriptures. And I told you last week, if you want to look if you want to look like Jesus, if you want to speak like Jesus, if you want to act like Jesus, read the Gospels. I love the Old Testament. I love the Psalms. I love Genesis. I love Haggai. I love the Old Testament. But when I want to learn how my Lord lived, what he said, what he did, I go to the Gospels. And two things you'll notice, especially in Luke, but not just in Luke, but mostly in Luke, is this. Jesus sought his Father in prayer often. He spent times in prayer often. He spent nights in prayer often. He ran, not ran, he sought solitude away from the multitudes, from ministry. He left ministry to do what? To pray, to be with the Father. That is this discipline of, I am the Son of God, I am the one who made the universe, but I still need to seek time aside in prayer and in solitude to hear God's voice. Learn from Jesus. And I said, make it personal. Say, Lord, speak to me today through this word. And if you read just one verse, that's enough. If you say, I want to live out this verse today, make it practical. Just no mechanical reading will help you ever. Just pray that God will speak and you will be able to actually apply. The next one, make sure nothing is hindering you from hearing. Sin will hinder you from hearing God's voice. You want to know God? You want to hear God's voice? You want to know God's will? You want to receive God's guidance? 1 John 1, verses 8, sorry, 7, 8, and 9. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, the Son of his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Don't let sin hinder you from hearing God, because sin will stop you from hearing God. Pride, it's a sin also. I want to just make it clear. Pride will stop you, will prevent you from hearing God's voice. Disobedience will prevent you from hearing God's voice. So in the end, make sure there is nothing hindering you from hearing God's voice. You can sit down and say, Lord, speak to me today, and say, Lord, if there's anything in my life that prevents me from hearing your voice, show me. And he will. I promise you, he will. His Spirit will speak to say, you haven't done this, or you've done this. Repent. And as you repent, God will cleanse you, and God will speak to you, and God will guide you. But do not let anything hindering you from hearing God, especially sin. Confess and turn to God. Confess and turn to your Lord. And in the end, and I truly end with this one, remember John 10. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. God speaks to his people. The shepherd speaks to his people. And God, your shepherd, will speak to you too. There's no doubt about this. When he has brought us out, when he brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. How do you know his voice? It's simple. Guys, there's no, you know, it's nothing too complicated. How do you know God's voice? How do you know God's voice? Read the scriptures. Read the Bible. Make that the most important habit in your life besides prayer. How can you know God's voice unless you spend time with Him? And how can you know God's will unless you discover through Scripture what God has spoken already for you? God will speak to you. He's your good shepherd. I do not put aside all the other ways that God might speak, whether it's a dream or a vision or through someone in the church. I do not put those aside. God will use those for sure. But the main, the foremost, first and foremost way God will speak to you is through His revealed word. If you say you love God, you will spend time with God. Your time will be invested into seeking your God, and you will know His voice. And His voice is, like I said, biblical. It's based on the Scriptures. His voice is personal. He will speak to you directly. And His voice is powerful. God's voice, God's word, God's guidance will have power in your life and through your life. So to end this message, my sheep hear my voice. How do we live practically a life where God speaks to us and we actually can discern His voice? We cleanse our lives from sins. We make sure there's no wall between Him and us. We actually invest our time. We clarify our vows and we actually put time into knowing God's voice. We seek to remove all the hindrances, all the noises, you know, everything that may stop us to focus on God. We practice what Jesus practiced, solitude. We say, we go and pray, and we wait for God to speak to us. And we always allow His word to transform us by obedience. Guys, I cannot even emphasize enough this. Our issue as a church is not knowing God's word. Although Bible illiteracy is a huge problem in the church today. But that's not the biggest problem. The problem is we know the word and we still don't do it. Obedience is a prerequisite of hearing God's voice. Because He speaks to you. But sometimes we say, yeah. When you do that, God says, okay, I will allow you, but I'm waiting for your obedience. And I pray that I will be an obedient man of God, listening to His voice, knowing His voice, reading His word, and then living out in my life His word. God speaks to His people. God speaks to me. I must know what God is saying. How do I do that? Best way out there, the Scriptures. May that be your life every day from now on. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are such an amazing Father. We can trust in You. We can rely upon You. We can come before You with boldness because You have called us to come with boldness. And we know that from the Scriptures. Father, most of what we know about You is from the Scriptures. Although we've seen You in the blue skies, we've seen You in the oceans, we see You in the mountains, we see You around us. Lord, You spoke to us through Your word. You spoke to us through Your Son. And Father, today, we do need to hear Your voice. We do need to know Your guidance, know Your plans and Your will. And as we pray, we come before You, Lord, to ask You once again to humble ourselves. If we, in our collective pride, maybe we said, our plans are so great, the Lord will definitely approve them. We made our plans more important. Father, rebuke us and humble us, Lord, under Your mighty hand. And allow us to come before You, Lord, and say, Lord, what do You want from us? And as You speak to us, allow us to be obedient. If You call us to love You and love people as the great commandment, Lord, may that be reflected in our lives. If You call us to make disciples, Lord, I pray that our lives as a church and as individuals will reflect obedience to that commandment. Help us be a great church. Help us be great Christians by committing ourselves to knowing Your will and doing Your will. We need Your help, Lord. We cannot do this without Your Spirit speaking to us and giving us the strength. We cannot discern Your will unless the Spirit speaks to us. So we come before You, Lord, and say, Lord, today, once again, we seek Your guidance. And we humble ourselves before You and ask that You lead our steps one day at a time. May Your word be a light lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path today and every day of our lives. Amen.